Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Chocum. Frenchie is here. We are going to ramble on about a bunch of nonsense for the next 25 minutes to a half hour. We'll keep this short because the IndyCar race this weekend doesn't really count for anything. So, and thank you, Frenchie, for coming back from your honeymoon. I don't think I could deal with Cody for another week as co-host, but thank you, Cody, for filling in, I guess. You know, I'm sorry if you listened and you didn't like him as a co-host. I don't blame you. I don't really like him as a human being. So, you know, it is.
I thought he did a pretty good job.
He did. Listen, I have to go with the bit. Like, I can't be like, oh, yeah, he's nice. And I played video games with him for 3 hours last night, which is true. But. Yeah. What can you do? I have to keep going with said bit. So how are you, sir? Are you rested and refreshed, or are you like still, are you still wishing you were on the beach somewhere?
I actually have two things to respond to with that. Number one, I listened to the episode and you were giving me a lot of crap for being on any social media during my honeymoon. There was literally like nothing to do on the island of Anguilla. You lay on the beach and you read.
Lay on your beach and relax.
Yeah, I was relaxing. I read 2.5 books. I'm almost done with another one. None of them had to do with racing. It was all like spy novel type thing. But
was
so besides swimming, they were good. I would recommend all of them, but I don't think anybody is coming to this podcast to hear my
spy novels.
Spy novels, exactly. Yeah. My recommendations for like pleasure reading. If you do, I'm happy to recommend them. You can reach out to me or something like that. But you know, you got to keep in touch with the racing world still. I watched the IndyCar race. I still haven't caught up on F1 yet.
There's nothing.
I guess I'll do that at some point. Yeah. I still kind of want to watch it, but I couldn't really find the energy to do that while I was there. But I, you know, there was still stuff on social media. So
I can promise you when I'm on vacation next month, I'm not looking at, well, listen, I'll look at social media mostly to make sure that like the podcast isn't burning down to the ground when I'm not working, but I will not be paying attention to the news.
Oh, I mean, most of what I was doing was, all right, I'm going to post some wedding photos now. So I'm opening social media, and then you just kind of go into a black hole for a few minutes.
Black hole. That's a good way of putting it. What was I going to say?
Oh, you asked me something about if I was refreshed. So yeah, I think I'm rested and refreshed, but it's like kind of depressing for the wedding to be done. It's almost like a post-wedding blues type thing where the event was great and I kind of want to do it all over again because it was fun. So it's disappointing that it's done and there's nothing to look forward to, which sounds really bleak, but there is a lot to look forward to. I have a whole life now with my wife to look forward to, but you know, that big fun thing that I've been planning for like a year is now over. So it's, I guess, a little bit of kind of a letdown. Coming back from vacation too is always kind of sad.
I got like a little bummed out that, you know, and we'll talk about Thermal Club a little bit in the next couple minutes, but I was this past weekend we were kind of slightly changing our itinerary for vacation next month and booking some tickets for different activities in the Netherlands, and like one of them was we wanted to do the Anne Frank House, and some of them are like you have to get tickets in advance, otherwise you're going to stand in line for like 3 hours, and nobody wants to stand in line for 3 hours on vacation unless you're in Disney World, and you're not going to catch me in Disney World anytime soon. But the Anne Frank House is sold out for the entire month of April already.
Maybe I'm ignorant, but is there some kind of an anniversary or like a...
That's a good question. If so, I'm just as ignorant.
Let me see. No, not that I know of. I don't. Her birthday's in June, and her death was not in April. So I'm not sure exactly what it is, but maybe it's just really that popular of a destination. I think Michelle went there at one point and said it was very small and sort of like interesting, but it doesn't probably take as much time or give you as much information as you might think.
Sure. So, you know, we booked a bunch of stuff this weekend, which was cool, and changed our itinerary a little bit towards the end of the trip. And then I was like, wow, I'll miss the next IndyCar race that counts, which is Long Beach. And then yes. I get back like the Thursday night before, I guess it's before Barber. So I'll be like, you know, in a post vacation depression that weekend. And it was a little bit of a bummer that the next IndyCar race that counts, I'll be in the Netherlands. And so if the race is at, yeah, there's probably zero chance I'll be watching it.
I mean, hey, Rinus is from the Netherlands, so, and they like motorsports there. So maybe there's a way to watch it somewhere, or like it'll pop up on a TV at a restaurant or something.
I don't want to tell my girlfriend on vacation, like, hey, we need to sit down for 4 hours in the afternoon to watch the IndyCar race. Or I guess it's probably like in the morning there. Maybe if it's like early morning Netherlands time, maybe I'll wake up early and tune in a little bit, but we shall see there. But yeah, we did book tickets in part of Netherlands. There's a car museum called the Lohman Museum, which we will be going to kind of like two-thirds of the way through vacation. But anyway, you have a little bit of news, and then we can talk about Thermal Club, and however long that takes us, we will make it happen, and we'll make an episode out of this.
So wait, you're not going to the Max Verstappen Museum while you're there?
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I figured it probably would be. Like, it seems like something that Yas would do without Max's permission to just make extra income. But I can see it probably will be very soon. Fernando Alonso has his own museum.
Yes, that I would go. I do want to go to one day. That's in Spain, Portugal.
Yeah, and Dario Franchitti has one too in Scotland. That seems like it'd be cool, I think.
Yeah, we were just talking about Spain couple weeks ago, I think, when we were like booking our Netherlands hotels and whatnot as somewhere to go one day, even though she's been there before, but I have never been to Spain.
Are you gonna see Robert Doornbos while you're there?
does Robert Doornbos's business have a store? If you don't know why we're laughing, we are not saying it on this podcast, but you can Google former IndyCar driver Robert Doornbos and understand why we're laughing. No, I will not be visiting. I will not be visiting him.
All right. Well, I mean, two-time Champ Car winner.
Yeah, you know, he did well in his short little run there, but that's okay. What do we have for news before we get too off the rails here?
Okay. So I have a little bit of an update about the TV contract.
Oh.
What we're hearing is that kind of there's rumors swirling everywhere, and we've been talking about some of them in the Twitter group, but NBC is interested in returning, but there are other parties that have also inquired. So Fox Sports has proved to be a really strong contender, according to Mark Miles. And then also they were apparently interested when they made the last NBC deal, which is allegedly worth somewhere around $20 million a year, I think I read somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mark Miles says he'd prefer to end up with one media partner, not splitting its rights across multiple broadcasters, like kind of NASCAR is doing. And some, I mean, I don't know if NASCAR can't even just make a deal with only one. I somehow don't see IndyCar being able to do that unless they, we'll see. It's a lot fewer events, but they have also been in conversations with more than three of what he calls major disruptive streamers, but it would be a stretch to end up with both a traditional broadcaster and a streamer for this deal. I don't know what a disruptive streamer is, thinking that's something like Pluto TV or Tubi or something.
Tubi.
Like, what do you picture as a, like, is Amazon a disruptive streamer?
I mean, I guess you could say Amazon is a disruptive streamer because they've come in with, what, Thursday Night Football and you know, some other things that would be disruptive to the main way TV has been consumed for decades. But do I think do I think IndyCar is going to end up solely on Amazon? It just doesn't seem likely right now to
Apple
me.
TVs.
Nope. Don't see that one either. So if disruptive is Tubi or Fubo or, you know, whatever, you know, random streamer that exists, is that disruptive? I mean, it's disruptive because it's annoying that I would have to pay for another streaming service. So, but I don't know. It's hard for me to get too worked up on the TV stuff in any way, shape, or form right now, because next week, you know, Mark Miles might say, NBC is now the front runner and Fox is in the picture. And the week after, he's like, actually, Fox is really in the picture. So, and even if they go to Fox, you never know what could happen. You might see Hinch and Lee Diffie and co come with them. Is that totally possible? Maybe not for Lee Diffie, because now NBC is moving Lee Diffie to NASCAR around or after the Olympic break.
Yes, I was going to bring that up because it's going to be very interesting. No, that was just the next thing I was going to talk about, is that I wonder who they're going to put in the booth. And I think you and I both hypothesized it would probably be Kevin Lee, which,
yeah,
he's good at it. He's done races before. I don't think that would be an issue. And I think Lee Diffie's going to bring something to the NASCAR broadcast. He's just good all around.
I agree, on Lee Diffie. I think even the most hardcore NASCAR fan that doesn't understand the appeal of Lee Diffie can find something to like about him after he is a little excitable at points, like when there's nothing happening, but sometimes it's exactly what you need. So I don't think it's a bad thing at all. So what I hope happens, and this is mostly just, especially if IndyCar stays with NBC and NBC is now looking to kind of differentiate itself maybe from what Fox has done, or maybe IndyCar goes to Fox and they need a whole new team. Either way, my point, what I'm getting at, is Kevin Lee would be cool, but I don't know if long term is the right wording here, but midterm, I would love to see somebody like Charlie Kimball be the next, like Jan Beekes, kind of like, not necessarily a pit reporter, but kind of somebody who's very smart and understands the technical side of IndyCar. I think he does.
J.R. Hildebrand.
No, Charlie Kimball.
And then, okay, I'm talking about someone smart who's got like a degree from like a elite school.
No, yeah. I only did that because I was losing my train of thought and didn't want to forget it. But Charlie Kimball, when he does the Indy Lights broadcast with Kevin Lee.
Kevin Lee, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Adds a lot of value. He's not the most, I don't know, sometimes his voice is a little monotonous, but I think the content he brings is pretty interesting. So
he's a little bit calming.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to say monotonous because that wasn't the right word. That's why I kind of paused.
No, that's Nigel Mansell. yeah, monotone.
Yeah.
I agree. I think Charlie Kimball will be good. It'd be nice to see him in some kind of a function. I don't know. What I really just don't want, and I don't know if this is going to offend people or not, but I don't like Mike Tirico. I don't really particularly enjoy his broadcast style, even on like the Monday Night Football or any of that. So I don't want him to take over for, and I don't think he would, because I think they use him for bigger events like the 500. He doesn't seem like someone who knows enough maybe about motorsports to just jump in.
I like Mike Tirico a lot, but I don't think I would love him on every IndyCar broadcast. I think you're right on that one, but I just like him, and that's, you know, that's okay.
We should bring Bob Varsha back.
I wouldn't be against that. I mean, I think there's a lot of people they could go get, especially if they end up on a different network.
They could steal Dario from Formula E and bring him back to where he like belongs in a series that he actually competed in. I'm trying to think of who else they could bring. There's a lot of people. You bring Tommy Kendall back onto the broadcast. He's always entertaining. I mean, there's just a lot of cool people that are untapped talent that they need to. I mean, hey, Paul Tracy, take over for Lee Diffie. No, I'm just kidding. That would That would go very poorly.
Yeah, no. That would definitely result in me muting the broadcast when I watch from home and listening to IndyCar radio, because that would be the superior option, especially at that point.
Yeah, there's already one beloved Canadian in the booth, and we don't need to downgrade from him.
Yes, correct. At all. Okay, what's next?
Okay, so the other piece of news I have before we move into thermal stuff is just that Nashville is apparently posing a bit of an issue for Firestone.
Yep.
I don't know if we have any specifics, but I think we'll follow this. There's a lot of unknowns, but they're going to have a tire test there pretty soon. I don't know if I actually saw what the date is.
I think it's June 14th.
Okay. So it's going to be hot then. It's going to be hot probably when they have the race as well. But I think it's just going to be interesting. I mean, I don't know fully if that means the race will be especially exciting, because we're going into it with just like, oh my gosh, these tires are relatively untested. But I think that's going to add to the finale, in my opinion.
I also am not too stressed about it, because an article that came out, it might have been last week, and you may have glossed over it when you were on the beach, that said Firestone hadn't even begun production for NASCAR street course tires yet, and that was going to be, you know, at some point this summer. So, you know, because the street course would have needed a different tire compound because it's a new Firestone street course. Yeah.
Is doing NASCAR?
We're not talking about NASCAR.
You just said NASCAR street course tires.
I said Nashville street course tires.
Oh, I heard NASCAR. I was like, what are you talking about? They have Goodyear. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the tire allotment is not a, you know, big issue. They don't need to make extra tires. They hadn't even started making end of season tires anyway. So they're fine. Yeah, it's going to be difficult because that concrete surface is a lot more abrasive than your typical asphalt surface, but I don't think it's going to be some sort of like major safety issue or anything. They'll have the test. Concrete? What's that?
Milwaukee's concrete, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. I thought it used to be, or it's like very light looking pavement. It used to be, at least.
Maybe. Okay. So if it's entirely possible, but
it is concrete.
Milwaukee is?
Yeah, that's what I'm reading.
So Milwaukee. And why is it such a big deal for Nashville? Oh, Milwaukee. I Googled Milwaukee concrete and it's pulling up all like Milwaukee tool stuff.
That's what the first thing happened to me too. But I'm reading a Milwaukee Independent, which I assume is their local newspaper. And it, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's not.
I don't think it is, because I feel like we would have heard something about it at this point.
But like, this pavement looks so light.
Yeah, I'm on it. Milwaukee is not concrete. Milwaukee is asphalt.
Okay. Why does it look so interestingly light then?
Maybe it was old and worn out.
Maybe. I feel like it's just always been kind of tan in color as opposed to like the black that I expect with asphalt. But
sure.
I don't know my like road paving materials very well.
So anyway, now that we've gone like slightly off topic or off track, no pun intended, not trying to steal Alex Rossi and James Hinchcliffe's show title here either, but I honestly don't think it's that big of a deal. They've got time. They have one test. It'll also, they'll probably be able to, you know, bolt on the hybrid or at least some weight to get a feel for the hybrid and tires at the end there. So I wouldn't be surprised if at another point we get another test. So I don't think there's any reason to panic or be concerned about this at this point.
Oh, I'm not panicking.
That's not directed towards you. That's directed towards like some of these articles that are like Firestone has no idea what they're going to. They're fine.
That is the tone of a lot of these articles, which is literally kind of strange.
Their life is making tires. I think, you know, especially considering they hadn't even started the Nashville street course tires, that they have time and they'll be okay.
Yeah, they've done ovals before and they know these cars extremely well.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And it's not like they have to worry about being competitive with another tire manufacturer, which might, you know, introduce a little bit more complexity. They supply the entire series, so I think it's going to be fine.
Yep, agreed.
It's not going to be an Indianapolis 2005 situation.
No. I think worrying about it right now, it's just kind of like when you worry about, I don't know, anything, and the people who are fixing it or are in charge of this are experts. I don't think there's any point in being too overly worried about what Firestone is doing or not doing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that, but we have basically no details. I think some of the media members in the IndyCar community may be grasping for content and writing a little bit of speculative articles. And I'm not throwing that at anyone specifically, but just, I think when you have a month break and the season already started, you have to try to drum up interest. And, you know, these are the things that you want people to get thinking about and that they click on.
I want to tell you guys real quick about the easiest way to get some action on any of the major sports right now, including motorsports. It's Underdog Fantasy and their Pick'em game. Just pick higher or lower on your favorite or maybe your least favorite players or driver stats, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile app. All you need to do, pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your Pick'em entry. Get every pick right and you're taking home some serious money. Maybe enough that you can buy an IndyCar team or give them some money for maybe some marketing. All you need to use is the promo code PLP and get your first deposit doubled by up to $500 by Underdog. Some points on why you want to use Underdog versus everything else out there. It's the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. You don't need to worry about waivers or trades or lineup setting. You can draft your team in a couple minutes and you're done. Like I mentioned, you sign up with the promo code PLP. Click the link in the show notes each and every week going forward on this show, and your first deposit will be doubled. In other words, you deposit $100, you're getting $100 free. Check them out, guys. We will try to do as many Pick'em sections in this show as possible each week going forward to give you our insight. We will share what we're picking, maybe even if it's other sports if you guys are interested. Anyway, Underdog Fantasy Sports, check them out now.
Yep. Thermal Club time.
Yes. The first thing about Thermal is we know that Callum is going to stay in the number 6 car for David. He's going to cover for him again at Thermal, which that'd be interesting if he ends up winning, you know, like within the top, what is it, top 12?
Yeah.
Because, and I'm going to go through the prize money in a second and just a little bit of the recap of the structure of the weekend. But I wonder if he'd split that with David. I don't, that would seem only fair.
I doubt it. Why? No, definitely not. He's not splitting shit with David.
I'm just trying to support our buddy, our
sure.
co-host.
I want to support him too, but I also am realistic in the fact that if Callum walks away with any sort of money, he's not splitting anything with David.
It's probably all going to the team.
Yeah. Let's be real.
In reality. Yeah. I doubt his quick fill-in contract allows him to win that much if he's just doing this to you know, yeah, show that he still belongs in the series.
Yep.
So a little bit of a recap of what the $1 million challenge all-star race is expected to be. We will have essentially 2 10 lap heats on Sunday morning with 13 cars in one heat and 14 in the other, and then the top 6 finishers, so it's essentially just mirroring qualifying, will advance to the 20 lap grand finale, and then those 12 will race for 10 laps, pit for a 10 minute halftime, which will involve refueling and setup changes, and then they'll do the last 10 laps to determine the finishing order. And the finishing order is 500,000, I believe, for winning, because they dumped this whole thing about sharing with the Thermal members, and it's just 500,000. Runner-up gets 350,000, third place gets 250, fourth place 100, fifth place 50, and then sixth, through 27th get $23,000 each. And so not all of that money goes to the driver. It's not that easy. Obviously, some of it is taken away probably by the team based on their contract, goes to some of their management, goes to taxes. So in reality, the whole purse is $1.756 million, which is the largest outside the 500, but no one's winning $1 million.
That would be correct. And yeah. Yeah, that's accurate. If you don't know about how IndyCar payouts work, just know this. Even if it says $500,000 goes to the first place car, that doesn't mean Joseph Newgarden or whoever wins the final race on Sunday is going home with $500,000. He probably gets a small percentage of that, give or take a couple bucks.
Do you want the schedule for the weekend?
Sure.
So the first test, and this is all on Peacock until I say otherwise, is on Friday at 12 p.m. Then we have another test session, which I guess these are just basically practice, at 5 p.m. on Friday. Then Saturday, we have two more test sessions at 12 and 4 p.m. And then at 8 p.m. on Saturday, we have qualifications for group one, so how they'll start the heats. And then qualifications for group two at 8:27 p.m. That's all on Peacock. Then on Sunday, the heat races start at 12:15 p.m. on NBC. Then 12:45 is the second heat race, and the full all-star race starts at 1:50 p.m. I believe it's like 2 o'clock or so. I don't know. I think it might start exactly at 1:50, but I don't know what time it'll go until. That's not going to take very long for them to do 20 laps of a 3-mile circuit. With like
the only reason you could see it timing added is yellow flag laps do not count towards that 20.
Yes.
So that might add some time, but I don't think it's going to add, you know, all that much by any means.
I don't know if this is going to be something that's, I don't understand. Here's what I'll say. And you guys kind of talked about this, you and Cody, last week. Not exactly sure why this is one of the races that is on NBC and not Peacock.
Yeah.
Or USA, because it doesn't even have, it's going to be hard to explain. It's not the typical race format. It doesn't involve all the drivers. So if someone was just to casually tune in, it's going to be weird for them because it's not what IndyCar is usually like. Maybe the gimmicky side of it will interest new people, and that's what they're hoping for, but who knows? We'll have to see. But I guess one other piece of news that I forgot before we make predictions is that we saw Colton Herta win the 12 Hours of Sebring.
We did.
So, well,
yeah.
The Andretti Wayne Taylor Racing, whatever the full team name, Acura, is. It's like Wayne Taylor Racing with Andretti. Global,
couldn't tell you,
or something like that. Yeah, Marco Andretti would know because he's used to those long team names. But he, I believe, now is in pretty elite company because he's won the Daytona 24 as well. So for a young guy, he's had some pretty good success. He's 23 years old and has done pretty well in sports cars already, right? And with 7 IndyCar wins. That's pretty solid.
It's a good start.
Let me see this. When did he win Daytona? Yeah, he won Daytona in 2019, and then he won it again in 2022. So he's won it in GTLM. So he hasn't really won it overall.
Okay.
But he won it in GTLM in the BMW M8 back with Ray Hall in 2019. And then he won it again in the LMP2 with Dragon Speed in 2022 with Pato, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and was, who else was in that? Was Devlin in that car too?
Devlin and Eric Lux, I think, was the German driver.
Yeah, that sounds right. And so, I mean, now he's won Sebring. I think we could go look and see all the drivers that have won. I don't believe that Scott Dixon has ever won Sebring. So he's not won Daytona overall, but, you know, there are some guys like Tony Kanaan, you know, these are the type of drivers that Mario, AJ, that have these crazy kind of cross success across sports cars in the endurance racing and IndyCar, because they get the best rides and they just can drive anything.
Yep. Very well said.
Prediction time?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's just do predictions.
I have an aside that I forgot about from earlier. When I listened to your taxi story, I think I listened to it twice because it was on both podcasts, sort of. And then I also heard about it over text a little bit. But just so I can picture this, like, can you describe what this man looked like? I'm picturing a certain type of individual, and I doubt that this is what they actually looked like.
I couldn't tell you at this point. It's been more than a week. He was not elderly. He was probably in his 50s or 60s.
Damn, you just insulted a lot of people.
Yeah, whatever. Wouldn't be the first time. Won't be the last time.
Oh, man. I'm picturing like a really old man. So I guess I was wrong.
No.
Okay. Just someone who like gave zero you-know-whats and was just willing to...
Well, I think that
a guy with a hat, like a very stereotypical, like New York cabbie, even though you're in Philadelphia. I don't know.
Well, it's funny because we're going to New York in a couple weeks from now. 2 weeks from now, 2.5 weeks from now, roughly. And we were laughing about it last weekend. I was like, listen, when we get off the train, we get into New York, we're getting an Uber because I don't ever want to go into a regular taxi again after that experience.
And you would have thought it was the other way around. And
sure.
Like you mentioned, you have had negative experience with Lyft. So it seems like I'm not going to let you order third party transport. Like it's going to be me if I'm with you that orders it. Probably.
Yeah. We came upstairs out of the train station in Philly and the taxi stand was literally like right there. Mm-hmm. So it was, let's get it. It was like 10 of 12. We got into the city a little early. Yeah, we'll get that. We'll get back. We'll get changed. We'll relax. We'll watch the IndyCar race. And, you know, not only, and I don't think I necessarily said it last week on either episode because I was just kind of like in a tired daze last week. But after the whole police ordeal, we're driving, there's tons of traffic, and he's like, why is there traffic? I'm like, I don't know, bro. Isn't your job as a taxi driver to know where the traffic is in the city? But also, he was trying to turn down one street, which would have been a direct shot at that point to girlfriend's apartment. You know, it was still like a 2 mile drive at that point, and he couldn't because there were so many cars. He's trying to like cut off people and like to like get into that lane and turn, but there's like three lanes of cars stacked up to try to get into one on top of us trying to get there. And eventually I think girlfriend was like, yeah, can you just go some, like, you're like, we were in traffic and we were going to get T-boned if we sat there. So
did you have rolling luggage or did you have like duffel bags?
Duffel bags. We were at that point, we were like, because we were her and I were texting each other like, should we walk, should we get out?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You take the subway
over here, I'm out. Yeah,
but we were still at that point like a mile and a half away and you don't want to walk.
Okay,
like I had a lot of stuff in my duffel bag, so I didn't necessarily want to. And I also had the tuxedo bag separate to that. So it's just, it would have been a lot, especially because we got up early to get on the train and get out of there. So it would have been a lot, but we considered it. Finally, like another 25 minutes went by and we got to within 4 or 5 blocks of her place. And she was like, all right, we're going to get out here. And like we paid and got out. He got no tip.
How much was the bill?
It was only $19 because he cleared the $20, I think, 19 or 20. He cleared the meter after the police incident.
Oh, that's nice.
And he did offer us, like, if we wanted to, like, get out and get another cab or an Uber or whatever. But at that point, we didn't think the journey could possibly get worse.
Yeah.
So we, and I was, like, sitting next to her, texting her, being like, are you comfortable with this? What do you think? And that's what we, it was a mess. It was so frustrating.
Yeah, because you just wanted to get home. It had already been, like you said, a fun but long weekend. So I
didn't necessarily care about like being able to watch the start of the IndyCar race at the start. Like, you can always just rewind on Peacock and watch it. But the fact it took 38 minutes to go like 2.5 miles is like really frustrating.
Yeah, even when you're not driving, that's enraging. Yeah. So yeah. I get that. There was something else that I was just about to ask you too that I had forgotten now. Maybe it'll come back to me before we make predictions, but it was a little bit of a tangent and now I can't think of it. You and Cody were talking about it and it reminded me.
I don't know.
What was it? Now I feel bad that I just had it. Man, I'm getting old.
I feel that one.
I don't know. I'll have to think of whatever it is. Maybe it'll come to me when we're doing predictions, but I have an idea for some of the predictions that we can add maybe to our traditional ones to liven this up a little bit. But do you want to just start with kind of the ones we usually do?
If you want to lead predictions and switch it up, since it's, you know, the vaunted $1 million challenge, we can do whatever you want this week.
Well, I think we should do some of the normal ones too. But yeah, I do have a couple that I was going to add in there. So who is going to have a good weekend?
I think Alex Rossi is going to have a good weekend.
All right. I think.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
I'm going to say at Thermal, who's going to be really good?
I think Marcus Ericsson tested very well here last year. Obviously, he was in a Ganassi car, but...
Yeah, I'm going to go with... Probably... Why is it so hard for me right now? Is this... I don't want to pick someone predictable. I'm trying to pick like an underdog a little bit.
Sure. I mean, it's hard to have an underdog on a race that doesn't count.
Yeah, because they're going to get booted.
Yeah.
But... Let's see. I'm just going to take Scott McLaughlin.
Okay.
He's not an underdog.
No, definitely not.
All right. Who's having a bad weekend? There's no points, no real implication other than embarrassment.
Rinus VK.
All right. My pick for a good weekend at St. Pete.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you can say his last name. It's not that hard. It's like Van Kampthout or something like that. Van Kampthout. I'm probably saying that really wrong, but
yeah, that's why I skip it. Yeah, that's why it's just for me. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just not going to worry about it.
Okay, so for me, who's having a bad weekend? I'm going to say that certain people are already low hanging fruit, so I'm not going to pick them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like. I'm not picking either of the Yunkos drivers because I think they're low-hanging fruit at this point already, or Stingray Rob. I'm going to go with bad weekend for Kyle Kirkwood. I don't know why.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit of the old aggressive Kyle will come out this weekend because he wants that money.
Fair enough.
Okay, and then I wanted to see who you thought was the first person out. Like, we're going to just guess who's the first person, like, the last in each of the groups.
First person to get eliminated?
Yeah, essentially. Like, who's getting eliminated in the first round? We're going to guess a couple people.
I'm going to say, is Colin Brown considered low-hanging fruit? Brown.
I think he could make it to maybe the top, like, for qualifying. I don't know.
All right. Colin Brown's the first one out.
Okay. But he's so likable. Okay. That's fine. Not wrong. Yeah,
I'm also just saying that to enrage the sports car fans that are big fans of his.
Oh, he seems like he has a great personality. First person out for me is going to be, screw it, I'm going with Stingray for this one. Yeah, it's just, I don't think he's got a chance.
All right.
What's the phrase? The snowball's chance in hell?
Yeah. Is there any other?
Yeah. So, how many times do you think the broadcast is going to hype up this whole money thing? Like, how many times do you think they're going to make it a way bigger deal than it actually is?
I think 100%, like, every chance they get, like, when they start the race and it's like green flag and we're off, and it's going to be like green flag and it's the $1 million
on the line. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think every chance, or every time there's like a pause in action, they're just going to go $1 million challenge. So a lot.
But my other question is, do you think guys will be more cautious or more aggressive because this doesn't have any points on the line and it's just money?
I think if you are somebody like Will Power, because he said he's going to treat this essentially like a test session, he's going to be pretty conservative. I think if you're somebody like a Colin Brown or a Stingray Rob or Junkos, you're probably going all out for not just money, but to get your sponsor some TV time. So I think if you are somebody who finished in the top 12 in IndyCar standings last year, you're probably conservative. I think if you're the bottom half, you're going a bit harder, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think you're completely right about the smaller teams, and the drivers who don't have as much budget are going to be trying really hard to show off and make a name for themselves, because these are the type of events where they get the chance to do that. Like, I mean, we always hear the stories of how, like, Ayrton Senna made his name almost in, like, that Mercedes, like, one make series race. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
And, you know, okay, you acted like you knew, but I knew you actually didn't.
Yeah, I was just going along with it for discussion's sake.
Other people used to win, like, you know, non-championship races in F1 and then get rides out of that. So,
yeah,
it's kind of cool that they get the chance to do this. But do we wish that there was some kind of musical performance at the halftime?
No, because we'd get, like,
that's George Thorogood.
No, we'd get, like, somebody like Boz Scaggs from, like, the 60s or 70s, whenever he was, like, somewhat
popular. Your dad likes him.
My dad does like him. That's why I brought him up.
Just to troll your dad when he listens to this?
Yeah. So, no, I don't. I am glad we don't have we can just listen to Lee Diffie go, $1 million challenge, in his accent for 10 minutes. And that would be just as entertaining.
Okay. Fair enough. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. Fair. We'll wrap it there. We'll be back next week and we'll recap it. Maybe next week we can also then go back and talk about Michael Andretti's comments about Roger Penske. That was during wedding weekend, so you and I didn't really get a chance to talk about it, and I wanted to save that for when you were back. And yeah, all right, everybody, enjoy the $1 million challenge, and we'll be back next week.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the world of outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.